Parsha discusses the story with Negod Bnei Reuven approaching Moshe Rabbeinu and asking them if they could stay and reside and dwell by Eiver HaYarden, that should be their house, that should be their dwelling place, that should be their inheritance, instead of conquering the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Parsha tells us, gets very upset, goes through a little bit of Jewish history about telling them there's the sins of their ancestors, of their fathers in Dor HaMidbar, that this is not the way a Yid acts, and they accept the criticism. And the Bnei God of Bnei Reuven respond to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're 100% right. We need to be there for our brothers. We need to fight on their behalf. And they respond very appropriately. They're not disagreeing with Moshe Rabbeinu's criticism. As the Pasuk says, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'anachnu nechaleitz chushim lefnei bnei Yisrael ad asher im evinu mel ha-makomo v'yoshev tapinu ba'ore ha-mitzur b'bnei yoshvei ha-oretz. Lo yinoshuv el botenu ad isnocho bnei Yisrael ishnach loso. We will not return to Eiver HaYarden back home, and we will fight until all of Am Yisrael actually inherits and inhabits the land. That's quite an argument, and they're going to fight on the front lines. Ki lo yinin chalit ha me'Eiver HaYarden. We will not come back and return to our homes until Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael proper finishes the process and already not only conquers the land, inhabits the land. And Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Chaf responds as follows, Rabbi say, listen carefully. No. Moshe Rabbeinu does not accept their statement. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you will do the following. Im tasu nes adover azeh, im techoltu lifnei adoinoi la milchoma. If you will go in front, fight in front of Hashem for battle, va'over lachem kol chutzes ayarden lifnei adoinoi adarishu es ayvav miponov, and eradicate all of the oivim, v'nechbesha haaretz lifnei adoinoi v'achar toshuva v'yisim nikim adoinoi mizrov v'yisar haaretz azos lachem lachuzol lifnei adoinoi. You should conquer the land, and then v'im lo yisasun kein hini chatosim ladinu yidu chatosim asher chtim seeschem. And if you don't do that, so then you were sinned in front of Hashem. B'nu lachem arim l'tapchem gidres l'tzoynchem v'yotzi mipichem tasu. So Moshe Rabbeinu presents this whole thing. If you go and you fight and you conquer the land, good. If you don't, so then you sinned and the whole thing falls apart. And what Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Bnu lachem arim letapchem u'gidras letzayinchem." You should build houses for your children and also for your cattle, as Rashi tells us. Moshe Rabbeinu flips the order. Vayomer bnei God bnei Reuven el Moshe leimor avdecha yasu kasher adoini mitzave, and they agree, and they say exactly what you just said is 100% correct. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not clear what Moshe Rabbeinu had to add into the conversation. How Moshe Rabbeinu in the last parsha, right before Shvi, says, this is wrong. You're going to stay on Eiver HaYarden, you're going to let the rest of Am Yisrael go and inhabit the land, and you're not going to fight with the rest of Am Yisrael. That's wrong. But Bnei God Bnei Reuven did not argue with Moshe Rabbeinu's point. It was very sensible, and it's something that hit home. You're right, we have to fight. And they said, we're not only going to fight, we're going to wait and we're going to be there. We're going to fight to the last battle until not only the battles are over, until all of Am Yisrael inherits the land. And Moshe Rabbeinu is not happy with that. The Parsha, for some reason, continues. The Parsha continues and says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you have to be there and fight and conquer the land. We know. I understand, Moshe Rabbeinu, did you not hear us? We just said we're not only going to conquer the land, we're going to make sure to stand there to secure the act of conquering and the conquest, and wait the duration of time that it takes them to inherit the land. We know Chazal tell us, Kibush v'chiluk, the Yerusha was not at the time of Kibush. It took a long time afterwards to split up and inhabit and inherit the actual land, to divide it amongst Am Yisrael. They're offering much more. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, 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 no. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is what you have to do. And if you don't do this, it's wrong. Hello, Moshe Rabbeinu. We just said we're going to do it. And then the Parsha continues, a atzum. Vayitzav lehem Moshe es Elozer HaKoyin ves Yeshua ben Nun ves Roshei Avos HaMatos l'bnei Yisrael. He appointed Elozer HaKoyin and Yeshua to make sure that this is what they're going to follow. That what? Vayomer Moshe aleihem, and he said to them, Im yavru bnei Gad ubnei Reuven itchem es er yarden kol chalutz l'milchama l'fnei Adonai v'nichbash ha'aretz l'fnei chem nesatam lehem es er tagid l'lachosa. L'chuzah. If they're going to pass over, so then you should give them Aver Ayardin. Vim lo yavru chalutzim, but if not, itchem enochsu b'zochum eretz kanan, so then they don't get Aver Ayardin. And then once again, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayanu b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven le'mor es asher diber Hashem el avdecha keinase. We hear what you're saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, loud and clear. We got the message, keinase, and we're going to follow what you're depicting, what you're portraying, what you're demonstrating right now. Hello, if I was b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven, I would sit in there, you know, in bewilderment, looking, talking, trying to communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu. Hello, did you hear what we said? We said we're going to even fight until they inhabit the land. Moshe Rabbeinu does not require that from them. Moshe Rabbeinu says, just conquer the land. Don't do me any extra favors, Moshe Rabbeinu says. But then Moshe Rabbeinu goes through this entire new presentation. If you're going to cross the land and fight on their behalf for the conquest, then you're going to get Aver HaYarden. And if not, then you're not going to get Aver HaYarden. And this is the way I'm presenting it to you, in this double phraseology, this if yes, if not. And I don't even trust you. I'm going to make sure Elozer and Yeshua are going to be on top of and make sure and be people that are going to implement this plan of if you're going to fight, then you'll get it. And if you're not going to fight, you're not going to get it. And that's and then B'nai Gad U'B'nai Reuven respond, I got you. I agree. Your presentation is correct. What Moshe Rabbeinu just presented at the end of the Parsha, that's what I'm going to do. Hello, B'nai Gad U'B'nai Reuven should yell at Moshe Rabbeinu and said, did you hear us? We offered to go on the front lines to wait until the inheritance, until Yerusha. We're offering much more. Moshe Rabbeinu, what is your problem with what we presented? Why didn't the conversation already finish 10 psukim ago? What is going on here with the Parsha of B'nei Gad U'B'nei Reuven? What is Moshe Rabbeinu adding that B'nei Gad U'B'nei Reuven themselves didn't offer when they got that initial Musar Shmuz? A Parsha that is a Pella. The Malbim struggles to find out what Moshe Rabbeinu was adding. The Malbim has his presentation that you have to fight Lifnei Hashem. You have to recognize that your Mechomas will not be Al Derech HaTeva, but it's going to be Al Lifnei Hashem. That was what Chazal, that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was introducing and presenting to the B'nai Gad U'B'nai Reuven. But I'd like to suggest a different analysis. And I think there's a tremendous Yesod that's coming out of these Psukim that is really relevant for the avodah that we find ourselves erev, in the 9 days erev Tisha B'Av, in these Yemei Bein HaMitzarim. And in order to understand and to explain the parsha of what is transpiring over here and what is the haloch yelech, what is the conversation, what is going on and what is developing at this last stage of this conversation between Bnei Gad U'Bnei Reuven of understanding what they are meant to do on behalf of their brothers, we need to understand a very important halachic and lamdish sugya that comes and emanates out of this parsha. You see, B'nai Gad U'B'nai Reuven in this conversation now introduce something that has a lot of ramifications la'alach. The Gemara Maseches Kedushin in the third parak on Daf Samach Beis Amid Aleph tells us that we learn from this situation and from this presentation, the third conversation, the final conversation that Moshe Rabbeinu presents to B'nai Gad U'B'nai Reuven, that when a person is involved in a transaction, when a person is involved in any halachic acquisition, if a person is involved in any situation, they have the opportunity to make it that it's chal al tnai. I'm not only buying this item, I'm not only marrying this woman, but by me buying and selling this item, we as the owner, as the people involved in the transaction, in the acquisition, have the capability to be tole, to hang the acquisition and the fulfillment of the agreement on a condition, based on a clause. It's not only something that's found in legal practice, but it's in halacha as well. However, the idea that I can now make a condition, a built-in clause and condition within my transaction, is a chiddush. And it's a chiddush that's learned out from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, there are certain laws and there are certain requirements that the Gemara Kedushin tells us that have to follow exactly like the presentation of the Torah in the first tnai, the first condition of a transaction that was found in the Torah. Kol mi shelo masne kibtnai Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, tno batal umaisakayim. Gemara tells us if you want to do an action and you want to now have that action now built in that it's conditional and it's pending based on a tnai, a condition, and a clause, then it has to be stipulated exactly in the framework and the way it was stipulated at the time of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven of this situation. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, and says the Gemara, it has to be in both ways. Tnai kofel. It has to be if you act appropriately, if you fulfill the condition, if you fight on your brethren's behalf, then you will inherit Eivor HaYarden, then you will get the land that you are requesting. But Moshe Rabbeinu can't leave it at that. He has to make a kofel. He has to speak it out clearly. And I'm going to explain to you the second side, Moshe Rabbeinu. And if chalila v'chas, you don't go and carry out this condition, so then the clause is nullified and the acquisition that you're trying to do is not going to be fulfilled and you will not get it. That is Tnai Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. That is something that is accepted la halacha we paskin, that if you don't stipulate both sides of the Tnai, Hain, what will happen if you follow the Tanai, and Lav, if you don't follow the Tanai, you do not get it, then the Gemara tells us throughout Shas, that's not a Tanai Bnei Gad Reuven, and it's nullified. It's not acceptable. You have to be Masnet like it's found in our Torah Parshas Matos, like Moshe Rabbeinu presented in this third conversation with Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Yet the Rishayim ask throughout Shas, in the Meseches Gittin, in Meseches Nazir, in Meseches Kiddushin, in Meseches Baba Basra, all over Shas, anywhere you come to the concept of Tanai, whether it's in the area of Kiddushin, whether it's in the area of Sukkah, Lulav, Matanam, and Aslachsa, you're getting things, you're creating conditions that you want to give a present, but you also want to give it back. Whatever the Sugya is, you'll always find the Rishayim ask the following question. A fundamental Sugya. You find many times throughout Shas that people made their transactions and their acquisitions pending on a condition and a clause, and they didn't stipulate like Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. They didn't speak out, im hein hein, im lav lav. They didn't speak out both sides of the coin. They weren't as explicit as Moshe Rabbeinu was in this story. And the Rishonim have all different answers how to answer this question, when the laws are required, when the laws aren't required. But Ma'ariv Rabbeisai, I want to introduce to you a fascinating chiddush of Shitas HaRambam. Shitas HaRambam that answers this question makes a distinction between two types of conditions. There's a way a person can make a condition with the phraseology of almanas. I'm going to marry you. I'm going to give you this present. Almanas, that you jump in the air three times. Almanas, that it's going to rain tomorrow. That's one type of condition, almanas. But there's another type of condition. Says the Rambam, I can also create a condition and make my transaction conditional based on the word im, aleph mem, if. What's the difference, says the Rambam? They're entirely different. Says the Rambam, when a person does a transaction or a means of acquisition, almanas, everything is taking place right now and it's in effect from this point on. It just happens to be that retroactively it might be eradicated, we have to make sure that the condition is fulfilled. However, when am I retaining ownership? When am I changing the status of the item? When am I already changing the focus? It's right now at the time of the transaction. Yeah, make sure you follow the condition. But it's chal, it's here, it's now, it's right now, it's taken care of. Says the Rambam, but if a person makes a tznai with the word im, aleph, mem, if, then it doesn't even take effect right now. It's only going to be chal, it's only going to take effect, it's only going to come into this reality, into the world, only once the condition is fulfilled. Those are two different conditions. Says the Rambam, the answer to the Rishonim's kasha, when do you need to follow tnai b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvein? When do you need to follow the clause and present and be explicit, exactly like Moshe Rabbeinu was, and you have to follow all the rules of regulations of b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvein? That's only if I present the condition with the word im. I'm delaying the effect. I'm saying it's not chal right now, it's only later. But if I make a condition that it's almanas, it's all taken care of right now. It just happens to be that it's pending, that I make sure that there's going to be a condition done, and what's being instated now and implemented now could theoretically be eradicated later, then I don't need b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvein. That's the Rambam's distinction. Other Rishonim have different distinctions. Moreover, Rabbi Yisai, if you look at the Svarno in this week's Parsha, the Svarno fits beautifully with Shitas HaRambam. That's exactly what was going on between this latter conversation between b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvein. They explained to Moshe Rabbeinu, not only are we going to fight, we're going to wait till they inherit the land. We're going to stay there for years until they inherit the land. We will be there on the front lines. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, thank you. I need a tanai b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvein. I need something to be explicit over here. Why, if you look carefully in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu adds in a word, meduyuk, in the parsha like Shitas HaRambam. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you're going to fight, if you're going to go there. The Rambam tells us that if you use a lashon of im, then you need tanai b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvein. B'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvein, in their first presentation, before Moshe Rabbeinu responds with the word im, they wanted to go to fight and go to battle knowing that their kids already have Eiver HaYarden, that their markets are already set up, that their cities are already going. We'll go and we'll be able to fight, but we'll go to sleep at night when we're in the battlefield knowing our family's taken care of. Our houses are built up. We already have the land that we inhabited because they didn't want to go b'tayres im. They didn't want to delay the inheritance of Eiver HaYarden. They wanted to be chal right now, and we're going to go. It's going to be conditioned, but it'll be on almanas. We don't need tanai kafel. We don't need the halachas of Bnei Gad u'Bnei Ruvein. Moshe Rabbeinu says, nay, I don't need you to stay so long. I don't need everything that you're offering. You know what I need? I need you to be in the same predicament that your chaver is in. I need you to feel and you to go to sleep at night and you to fight this battle and know that the tzara that your brothers are facing is your tzara as well because you don't have a house to return to. And only then can you fight on our behalf. It's b'toyras im. It's not b'toyras almanas. It's b'toyras tnai kofel. It's a delayed transaction, a delayed reaction. You don't have a house to sleep in until you finish the battle. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu responds to. Says the Svarno, that was exactly the debate between B'nai Gad u'B'nai Ruvein and between Moshe Rabbeinu. When do we get Eiver HaYarden? Before or after? It's Meduyek Heitev Shitas HaRambam, Tefarem for all of Shas, the chiluk between him and Almanas. Moira V'Raboy says we find ourselves in the 3 weeks and we try to be Metakin our Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. It's not enough to just have midas. It's not enough just to speak politely. It's not enough to do a taiva for someone else. The Torah is telling us in Parshas Matis that always finds itself before the 9 days. You want to be metakin ben adam l'chaveiro. It's imoy anoichi b'tzara. His tzara is my tzara. Sefer HaChassidim writes that if a person does an aveira, I have the ability to say I did the aveira because it's my achrayis. Kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. This person is undergoing a surgery. This person, Nebuch, has certain people in his family that are sick. That's my issue. I can't sleep at night. I don't have a household. I don't have Eiver HaYarden to rely on when I go to battle. When I'm mispalel for my chaver, it's my issue. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. You have to live your life b'teiras im, not b'teiras almanas. Meduyuk in the Divrei Moshe Rabbeinu, meduyuk in Shitas HaRambam, and Amir Tz Hashem, let this be
a zchus for us that b'mehera b'yameinu will be metakin the sinas chinam, and we shouldn't face this year's Tisha B'Av.